Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Mish, your friendly Leguizamarama co-host. I just wanted to jump in at the start of this episode and give you all a warning that the audio is not the best. We are currently recording stuff over Zoom, obviously, because we're still in lockdown, so we can't see each other face to face. And we have the brilliant Honor Wolf on for this episode. It is so, so funny. I love this episode, but the audio is not great. And we just want to kind of apologize for that. But you know what I'm not going to apologize for? Being a fucking funny bitch, which we all are in this episode. So no, the audio is not great. We had a couple of little tech issues, but you know, it's still a really good ep, very funny. So enjoy the episode. I'm really sorry about the audio. We're coming out of lockdown soon, so fingers crossed you'll have A grade primo audio from here on out. Thanks so much.
Hello, this is your spoiler warning. Missions X Leguizamarama features a lot of discussion about Walking with Dinosaurs, the movie. So if you don't want to know what happened to the dinosaurs, well, don't listen to this podcast because we give it all away. Spoiler warning for Walking with Dinosaurs, the movie in 3D.
Peace. I hate the word.
Oh, hello everyone. Welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. This is a podcast where each week myself and my friend have a chat about all the stuff that John Leguizamo has done. Seems to be a lot of voiceover stuff, and that's what we're tackling today. A bit of voice acting, isn't that fun? My name is Mish. You might know me from being the voice of my Year 10 formal DVD. I got to do the voiceovers for the DVD of my Year 10 social. That's the last time I've ever done voiceover work. I'm joined, as always, by my friend Zachary Thomas Ruane, who you might know from...
You wouldn't know me from this, but once I was going to do the voiceover for a food delivery service. They wanted me to sing a song, but then because of my availability, I had to come in before they were meant to have a meeting, and then I stood in the sound booth while they had an argument in front of me about how they wanted a professional singer like Guy Sebastian, and this guy's not right, and why did we bring him in before our meeting? And then they said to me, "Well, no, he can do it. Zach, do you reckon you can sing like?" And I was like, "Well, I can give it a go." And then I was trying to sing well, even though at every step through the process, I told them I couldn't sing, and they said, "That's fine. That's the joke." I'd done a little bit of singing in high school, but that was classical. I wasn't going to be able to sing like R&B pop style, but I had a go anyway, and they kept getting me to do it. And then from that moment on, I was like, I'm going to stand my ground more when I do ads and stuff. And if they ever ask me to go, I'm going to say, well, I can't do that. But then, you know, I struggle as well with what's the balance between being assertive and being a rude diva.
And that was a very cool story. We're joined this week because sometimes we need some assistance because we're flailing, guys. We've joined this week by our very dear friend who, I know I say this about everyone. Everyone. But it's genuinely one part of my favourite sketch comedy group in the world. That's fair to say. Like, hilarious, funny. I am a genuine fangirl, and yet she's still my friend. We're joined by Honor Wolf.
Hey.
Thank you so much, Honor, for coming onto our podcast. Again, this is your second time.
I know. I'm so excited. Thanks for bringing me back. I feel like we had a bit of a tiff on the last podcast about, like, you inviting me over for dinner or whether or not that you were inviting me. It was an argument. It was probably the biggest argument we've had in our friendship, but I'm glad that we've put that to bed, and I'm glad I'm in bed with you guys now. So scoot over. Zach, put your socks on. No, your feet are cold. Feels good. Feels good to be back.
It's nice to have you back. I'm glad that you've put it to rest. I haven't. The reason you're here is because I'm so mad. I'm still so mad about that argument.
Mish, can you, just for any of those listeners at home and maybe co-hosts that don't remember all the details of every podcast they've done, because they kind of show up, get on Zoom, talk about the movie they half watched and then leave. Mm-hmm. What's this beef between you and Honor, and why should I care? I'm a hypothetical listener.
Well, Zach, because you should care, because by the end of this recording, you have to choose between us.
Okay. Yeah,
so you need to be invested.
All right. So because what's the end of this? What's the beef? What was the beef? Just quickly.
The beef was. I think you guys were chatting about, you know, having each other over for dinner, and I thought I was invited.
Oh, that's right.
And I was a part of this
beef. I was so rude to you.
You were a part of the beef. In fact, you were an integral part of it.
Mm.
And I just felt like I felt really left out.
Yeah. Do you know, Anna?
So this actually means a lot for you to have me back on the podcast, because I haven't actually spoken to you since that argument a couple of years ago.
Anna, I don't remember that, like the specifics of that argument, but without a word of a lie, I do remember the meeting I had with Mish after the podcast with you, where we were like, I think we need to be nicer to our guests.
This is true. So I'm pretty sure this happened back in recap days.
Oh, yes.
I think this happened back. So it was a while ago, but we're holding on.
Yeah.
It was a while ago, and since then, we've had serious conversations about how we're a bit rude to our guests. We had another one after we had a chat with Ree Down, and I think that I ended up calling Ree a dumb cunt or something like that. And Zach was like, you can't do that.
No, it wasn't a you can't do that. It was not a you can't do that. That frames it like I was like, well, no, it was both of us, because we are quite rude to each other. That's kind of our, not so much our shtick as the fact that we're just both assholes. And we let it slip sometimes. We drop the facade from time to time. And it's like, but we can't put that energy. It was very much a shared thing, Mish. I've been horrible to guests as well. And I just want to say, you know, if you want to come to this little make-believe dinner that you're holding on to, Honor, sure, why not?
Yeah. To be honest with you, Honor, we've all been through quite a lot since that argument happened in 2019. So a lot has happened since then. And let's be honest. God, don't make me start. I would welcome as many people as possible into my lounge room once it's legal. So
okay, well, I'll think about coming, and I appreciate that.
I thought it would be funny. Sort of where I was going with my vibe was that I was going to be like polite to you but reluctantly and call it a little dinner and be a cunt to you. But I can't be bothered. So I'm dropping that bit.
That would have been such a you would have had to hold on to that for the whole 45 minutes.
Yeah, and I just don't want to be rude. Honor is a very exciting young comedian. You know, hot department. You know, hot on the heels of a meteoric rise, in my opinion. And I don't want to be offside. I don't want to be offside.
No.
When you're big Hollywood power players.
100%.
That's it.
Can I just say? My TikTok algorithm consists right now, currently, only of sexy cowboy TikTok. I've gotten into this like erotic cowboy TikTok.
It's foul. You keep sending these foul videos.
And then middle-aged women making pasta bakes for their kids and hot department TikToks.
I'm happy to be among the greats.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
It feels good.
It feels powerful. And I'm glad that you've got the right kind of algorithm. That's exactly the kind of algorithm a good person should have.
Are you into TikTok?
Oh yeah. Oh, I've lost years of my life, it feels, to TikTok. TikTok's not I mean, I'm into TikTok. TikTok is not good for me. No. I don't know where I go for hours in the day and I just fall down the rabbit hole.
Your favourite corner of TikTok?
Okay, so there's a mix. When I'm sad, I found this video of this woman talking quite softly to me making a cup of tea, just saying...
ASMR! ASMR TikTok.
Well, no, because this wasn't specifically ASMR. This was just a woman speaking softly, not like whispering though, but just being like, hey, doll, how's it going? Oh, it's been a bit tough, hasn't it?
Oh. Does she have coloured hair?
Yes, her.
That's the woman who makes pasta bake.
Oh, she was wonderful. I sent it to my partner. He didn't really care about it. For me, it felt so nice. She felt like a hockey mum or something, that I was sleeping over at a house and she was just being nice to me and my parents were going through a divorce. Like, it felt so good.
She is my favourite TikToker. You watch all her videos. She makes budget meals from Woolies and everything has roast chook in it. And she's great. She's like, oh, hello, sweetheart. Did you eat anything today? I made you a cheese toastie. Here you go. Oh, love her.
Lovely. I found her recently and she means a lot to me. I also just like, just funny TikToks or TikToks about people doing horrible things and then they like explain all of it, or conspiracy theorist kind of TikToks, that kind of stuff. Mm. But celebrity conspiracy theorists, like not like the vaccine doesn't exist or isn't real or whatever, but more just like, did you know that Leonardo DiCaprio wears noise-canceling headphones when he fucks people? And
yes, I know this
that kind of stuff.
Is that the blonde lady that just says it with complete authority? Because there's this one woman that's just like, so this happens. There's been an anonymous post on a website that anyone can post. Yeah. She's
blind,
like,
thing. Yes. Yes.
And
that's
she says it so factually. She's just like,
yeah,
without a doubt, this is facts about these people. And you're like, oh, I think you might, you should, you, there's probably a frisson of conjecture there, lady.
Also, I love it because I love fucking gossip. Gossip's great. I'm all into it. I'm trying to be less bitchy. I'm trying to be less mean, but I love gossip and I love gossiping with certain people. I also love watching Jordan's TikToks. My friend Jordan Barr, she's a comedian. I love watching her TikToks because there was one time where she said something that wasn't true and then she had to go back and make an apology TikTok because it blew up because everyone was like, that's not true, whatever.
What was it?
I think it was about rain, about like if it's like a 70% chance of rain somewhere or it's like it means something else or something. It was completely infactual. She heard it from some other – Jordan spouts facts sometimes that she just hears from people. Like she doesn't fact-check or anything like that. And then she had to make a whole TikTok just apologizing to people and being like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, she's great. Watch her TikToks.
Love
and also
apology.
Watching Hot Department TikToks, that's good because you can see, especially because we'll release a bunch in like a week because we have motivation because it's the start of lockdown and then immediately we stop posting for like 2 months. So
I send them to everyone. I send Hot Department TikToks to everyone I know. I sent one to my mum once. I've forgotten which one it was, but it was something fucked, but it was so funny. And she just wrote back about 5 hours later and it just said, lovely. It's like, oh, I think it was a video about Pat shelving something up his ass.
Oh,
and mum was just right back and she went, that's lovely.
I love that you send your mum and your other friends Hot Department and you send me just gyrating cowboys.
Honestly, sexy cowboy TikTok is the most fascinating corner of TikTok I've ever seen in my life. They're all Republicans, it's uber homoerotic, and it's just these topless beefcakes gyrating to songs, like to remixed country songs, and it's just so funny.
The best comment I've ever seen under the sorts of videos you send me, which I think is really wonderful, is like, because there was a video where someone was sharing, like there was this guy doing like a... don't worry, girl, I'll dance with you. And he was like dancing. And and there was all these comments like, oh, wow, I wish more men danced like you. And then this guy was like, can we just talk about these like videos of men doing like what they think? What the best comment I saw was, it was like, I love that they think this is what the female gaze is. Like,
yeah.
My God. I love those TikToks so much. All the acting ones, where there's like this little like twink blonde straight boy who's just like, he's just barely moving his lips to like say the lines and it doesn't make sense. And then you're supposed to say the other lines and then there's a song that plays at the end and it's just so ridiculous and bad. I love it. I love it so much because it just exposes what they think the opposite sex wants or someone that they want to fuck wants. And it's just, it's so beautiful. I love it so much. It's
the series
being
of,
so vulnerable.
The so ones where it's like, what would you do if the lift opened and we were in there and it's an elevator and it opens, there's just these four like topless twinks just like licking their lips and looking you up and down. And it's just like, that I would just be like, hello.
Oh, my God.
Or I'd just get in and not really look at them or speak to them. But it's just that concept of, like, I reckon a lot of girls would come if they saw this. Like, I think the girls would come. My favourite thing is when there's multiple men in these videos, the discussion that must have happened to make that video, like, why don't we all go into a lift topless and like when the lift doors open we act really horny at whoever's there and then they all agreed. Like there was a point where they all went, yeah, that's fucking sick, mate, like you're on it, Jason, that's a real good idea.
It sounds like the beginning of a circle jerk at like a sleepover.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It sounds like the beginning being like, why don't we all just get our cocks out and like just like measure them. I don't know. And be like, hey, Jay, sit next to me. Oh yeah, your cock's pretty big. Oh fuck, you got a tiny cock. Oh, don't touch my cock. And then it's like, oh fuck, we should watch some porn. Oh fuck, look at the way I masturbate. Oh yeah, yeah. And then it just goes really quiet and then everyone's just jacking off in front of each other. Okay, this is a specific porn that I watch sometimes and I love it because it feels real to me. I love the idea of straight boys in quotation marks just like getting into a situation where they can mutually masturbate. And that's what those TikToks remind me of.
Oh, very 100%. Much so. And I also love the layer of like, I don't know a lot about women. You know what I mean? Little old me, I don't know a lot about women. But I just from the little amount I know, I don't think they love the idea of getting into an elevator with a group of hypersexualized men. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, great. Hop on in. Yes.
A running leap into that little mosh pit.
I love, what's going on? I also love the idea of like, there's been a lot of talk about male gaze and what, men think that women want. And I also just love that everyone thinks that all women, the epitome of like a perfect man is Ryan Reynolds. Like that's what they all think. They're all like, everyone wants Ryan Reynolds. And all these men are like, oh, fuck, he's just the perfect dude, isn't he? Like, oh, he's so hot. He's so muscly. And it's just so funny because it's just like, I mean, right? Look, if I met Ryan Reynolds, I'd probably fuck him. Like, you know what I mean? I would.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, for many reasons. But he's definitely not the epitome of, like, sexual, sensual, like, I want to fuck this guy kind of thing. I don't know.
I think it's just there's definitely an element where it's just like, just admit you want to fuck Ryan Reynolds, man. Like,
exactly.
It's okay. You want to fuck Ryan Reynolds. Or even maybe you don't want to fuck Ryan Reynolds, but you think if you were to fuck a man, Ryan Reynolds would be the man you would fuck. Like, that's fine. But it's like, I reckon chicks want to fuck. I would love to look like Ryan Reynolds. No, you wouldn't. You're happy to look like however you look and then fuck him. Like,
you want to do kisses with him.
That's fine.
You want to know what the skin on his back feels like under your hands.
You want to hang out with him and you want to have his arm around you sitting next to you and then you're both like, hey, we should watch some porn. And then we're like, hey, yeah, fuck, this porn's weird. How big's your cock? And then he pulls out his giant cock, and then you pull out your medium cock, and then he's like, hey, your cock's, you know, I like the shape of it. And he's like, hey, fuck off. And then you start just slowly mutually masturbating, and then you turn up on my For You page of porn. So there you go.
Love that. Love that.
And Honor is thankful for it. Thank you.
I'm thankful for all you closeted bisexual men to get into situations where you circle jerk. It really turns me on, just like lesbian porn does. So thank you to everyone for fucking each other and for being ashamed about it, because it turns me on. It turns me on so much. I love it. I love my favorite type of porn is two people being like, oh, nah, like we're just having a sleepover, and then you end up fucking each other. So thank you to everyone who's participated in that and made my dreams a reality.
That is such an insight.
I used to do it with Alex. I used to be like, hey, let's just pretend. I did so many like role play shit with Alex. Once I was like, you just sit really still in a chair and just pretend you're a mannequin and I'm going to fuck you.
Did he do that for you?
Yeah, he fucking did. Alex loves me. He's the best. He's the best guy. I love him, and I remember it used to be like, and he's like, why can't we just have sex normally? But I was like, also like, hey, let's pretend we're just two friends at a sleepover, and we like it's a party, and we have to sleep in the same bed, and then let's slowly have sex. But we need to be, and he's also an actor, so I'm like, we need to be really committed to these characters, and it's very attractive, and it turns me on. So there you go.
I fucking love your relationship so much.
Yeah. It's so much.
It's
pretty solid. I like him, and I like you too, and I like Ryan Reynolds. I would fuck him, but it's not like he's top of my list.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I totally get that.
I get it. Oh, no, it's fine.
Do you know my favorite TikTok? There's a particular guy. I don't know if you guys have seen him. He's like a high school art teacher from America, and he does stitches with artists where artists are like, hey, tell me what you think of my art. And he's like, I love your line work. Really good. Maybe consider blocking out more colors before you start. And they're like, thank you. And like, that's his whole channel. It's just like gentle, kindly advice to artists. And it's my favorite. Like, it's genuine. That's my like weird lady that makes mug cakes with the purple hair that you were talking about.
It's wholesome and it's nice, and you care about these people, and it feels good, and it feels like it's without, like there's no consequence to that TikTok, you know what I mean? Except no. Like it's a positive, it's really positive. So,
but then
Zach,
there's
that's
a
an
man,
insight to you and your growth.
But there's a man that does, like the reason why I thought of him was because there's a man that does it for those acting videos that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where he's like, really good. Maybe try to find more of your action or your truth rather than playing to the emotions. Also, the fact that you're lip-syncing to Rachel McAdams 20 years ago makes it hard to really see who you are as an actor. It's just like, oh.
Oh, God.
They're also very, very odd, the acting scene TikToks, where you're
weird.
Just lip-syncing to a scene from a film. It's very strange.
It makes me mad too, but it also makes me sad because I'm like, you're all, either you didn't get into acting school or you all did and we're in a pandemic and you want to get famous and TikTok's a thing, and if you're hot and you can lip sync, you feel like you're showing how good of, maybe I'll be a person that responds to these TikToks, but I'm just really mean to them. I'm like, oh, how's drama school going? Doesn't look like it's going good. Are you lip syncing? That's a fucking acting. Let me show you acting. And then I'll, I don't know, scream.
I've been wanting to do stitches with those scenes for ages. Like,
yeah. I want to recreate them, but just and not like, it's kind of taking the piss, but purely because I'm doing them. To take them, do it as earnestly as possible, but just me in my tracksuit in my apartment with my dog, just earnestly trying to create. And I swear. All the little fuckheads are like, that's so good and you're amazing. You would come onto mine and be like, fat fucking bitch. You know, like, you're disgusting. Get off TikTok, you fat fuck. That's what I want.
I love the negging, awful comments that I get on TikTok sometimes. I fucking love it. And I also love the conversations about, like, I had a really good one that was about like white feminism, which was kind of ended up being not a good TikTok because then I used American African vernacular within it, which because I was dumb enough to think that that was just like TikTok language because I was like white feminist be like. And then I did this whole thing and then this person ended up messaging me being like, okay, you're being like a hypocrite. And I was like, oh my God, I so am. And then I took it down. But anyway, but then it was really interesting because everyone was being like, fuck you, like you're not a feminist, like blah, 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 like to do with this like white feminist thing. And then we had this really nice discourse about intersectional feminism and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know what that was. And then they're like, oh, I feel educated now. Oh, thanks so much, I'll see you later. Anyway, it's beautiful. But then
that's
I also
so
love,
nice.
I love incels being like, who'd want to fuck you? Like it's great, I love them. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
There's nothing like a 13-year-old being definitive in their morals. That's the thing like TikTok is just like, no, this is wrong and this is right. And it's like, oh, okay, you are 12, maybe just give it a couple of years. They're like, I'm going to cancel you because you're wrong. And it's just like, oh, you don't even, you have, like, okay. Maybe just wait and see what you think. What you think? Like, wait until you've done year 9 before you know what you think.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I could genuinely talk about TikTok forever.
Yeah, right.
But I am actually quite excited to talk about this film a bit. Mm. So, like, and I'm just going to say it straight out. There've been a couple of weeks in the last few podcasts that we've done where I haven't been that excited to talk about the film. I'm actually a bit excited this week. So do you reckon we could launch and just do the blurb and then we can go back to talking about the porn honor watches and 13-year-old's moral standings?
No, I think this is probably a good time to leave the TikTok conversation. To be fair, Honor talking about asking her partner to be a mannequin while she fucks him might have been the time to leave.
That was when I was like, surely we have to move on now.
Surely like, anything that's... else is a backward step from this overshare.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Give it a go.
Shall I read the blurb? Yeah, no, absolutely. Walking with no shade, no king shaming from me. Please don't cancel me, TikTok 13-year-olds. I'm not king shaming, Honor. Walking with Dinosaurs, the movie, is a 2013 3D live-action CGI hybrid family film based on the 1999 BBC miniseries of the same name. With a budget of $80 million, it is one of the largest independent productions of all time. Except for a little bit at the start and the end, which is set about 8 years ago, the film is largely set 70 million years ago. It tells the story of Patchy, a Patchy rhinosaurus voiced by Drew Barrymore's ex, as he has various little adventures during the annual migration of all the Patchy rhinosauruses. John Leguizamo plays Alex, a talking bird with the ability to quantum leap into the mind of any of his ancestors. He serves as both a character, a bridge between both time periods, think Julianne Moore in The Hours, and most importantly, as a narrator. Fun fact, this film was originally intended to not have any character voices or narration, but was later added at the insistence of executives at 20th Century Fox after an early screening. Why do I know this fun fact? Because I Googled it. Why did I Google it? Because it's a bit weird the way the characters talk, but also growl and their mouths don't move. That's it.
That's very good.
Very good.
What I found most interesting about this film is that I thought it was going to be, and the way they set it up was I thought this was going to be like a super highly educational film for kids about the prehistoric era, and dinosaurs and all of that. And I was like, this is going to be sick. And there was a little bit of it. Like every once in a while they'd do a profile of a dinosaur, but mostly it was just like a very strange love story between two Pachyosauruses. And also like a kind of adventure story between two Pachyosauruses fighting to lead their herd. It wasn't, I don't feel like I learnt much about dinosaurs.
It's Pachyosaurus, right? So I don't think probably. You did learn much, Mish, about...
And is it Pachya... Is it Pachri... it's like rhino...
Rhinoceros.
Rhinoceros. Pachrinosaur.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't... they're too complicated. I don't understand.
No, I think that shows how educational the film was because you get so sidetracked with Patchy and his Juniper, the sexy female fucking dinosaur.
Yeah, whose skin was slightly smoother than all the others.
Yeah.
She, essentially the way they made this Pachyosaurus or whatever look sexy was by making her a slightly more golden tone and super smooth. And they didn't give her tits, but it was very much like... Imagine her with some titties.
Imagine her with some tits and listen to how sexy her voice was. It was like, oh, Patchy, what's going on? Or whatever. It's so soft. Yeah. Even in really, like, horrific situations, very smooth, sexy little baby voice. It's great.
Yeah, it was fucked. But, like, I will say I found the film to be entertaining. But then when I read some reviews of it after I watched it, it got slammed. It got absolutely slammed.
Well, we've got to realise this was a pre-John Favreau's The Lion King live-action Lion King world. I mean, we weren't ready for realistic-looking CGI things with not unmoving faces but also celebrity voices. And now, thanks to John Favreau, he's changed our way. It's such a weird little film, though. I thought it was so odd.
Yeah, it was odd. Odd is right. Although, visually beautiful. Like, if you'd watched that at an IMAX, sweet Jesus, that would have been incredible.
Imagine it without the voiceover. Like, that's amazing. The other thing. Like, the voiceover is literally, like, I looked it up about halfway through because I was like, this is weird and it feels like all the storytelling. And then once I learned that fact, there's literally scenes where they're, like they're fighting and then, like, it's, like, and they're just animals, right? They're just these animals and, like, it's, like, raw and they're fighting. And then, like, there's this one bit at the end where, like, his brother gets like, put down and now he's the leader of the like pack and he like growls at his brother and it's all like visual storytelling. But then they just add a line like, hey, I'm sorry, bro. And then he's like, raw, which is clearly in it originally. And then he's like, wah, I deserved that.
Yeah.
Like they've just added these like, well, I deserve that. He's like, it's all right, bro, but I am the leader of the pack now. And like that was, it's so strange.
It's like that scene where Patchy loses Juniper in a sea of other Pachyosauruses or whatever they're called. And it's very clear that he's looking for his herd. Like he's looking around, he can't. And then he sees him and there's like a dinosaur-like elation and he, whatever. But the looking is just him being like, I can't find Juniper. Where's Juniper? Is she over here? Oh, maybe I left her down there. She's not there. And then when you hear her go, Pachy. Like sexy Juniper's like, Patchy, we're over here. Juniper, is that you? It is her. I'm coming. I'm so happy.
There's even like bits in it that feel like joke voiceover movies, you know, like your kung fu and like Into the Fist. Because there's like these bits in it where it's like exactly the bit you're talking about where he's like, hey, Juniper, fine, everyone, ignore me. Like, they back engineer why they're not looking at him talking. Yeah. Very odd.
It was a weird film. It felt like, did you ever have like an Apple computer and there was that game where you could be these like dinosaurs in it, like a flying dinosaur? And I don't know, if anyone who listens to that played that game, that was like the only game I was allowed to play as a kid. So it brings a lot. But it feels like, I just did a voiceover for that when I was like high on I was gonna say Coke, but I meant high on like Coca-Cola, like as a kid. Like just being like, ah, like it felt like me and my sister playing with like whatever we could find in the back seat of the car, like a hair tie and a fork, and then creating like a whole story based around that.
I'm really big on Little Honor being high on Coke though. Oh, just like, hey man, how you going? Do you want it? Maybe we should go find the rest of the pack. Like, I think that'd be a sick idea, man. I made 200K last year. I made 200K cash. That's not even talking about the increase in value of my assets, man. Just this little dinosaur. All right, fuck it, man. I'm gonna fucking get on. That would have been a very entertaining film.
That would have been.
I think the element as well of, oh my god, it was funny. The top of the film and the bottom of the film, which is this uncle that's taking his kids. So basically, the story is most definitely about this dinosaur love thing, right? But I don't know why they added this. But at the top of the film, there's just some uncle whose name is something Urban.
Played by Carl Urban. Carl Urban. Played Dredd, New Zealand actor. Sexy New
Carl
Zealand
Urban
actor.
Carl Urban is taking his niece and nephew. He's a paleontologist. And he's taking his niece and nephew to work, I suppose. And the nephew, who's like a preteen little cunt, is just like, I don't want to be doing this. I was like on summer camp with my friends. And he's just like, you might learn something, man. It was just so weird. And then the little shit gets out of the car and he's like, this is bullshit. And then he sees a crow that's voiced by John Leguizamo, who's like, hey, guys, hold on a second. Don't throw your uncle out with the bloody bathwater at the moment. I'm going to tell you a little story about where this dinosaur tooth came from. And then he turns into this weird prehistoric bird, and then we enter the dinosaur. It was completely unnecessary. But also the story of where that dinosaur tooth came from could have been told much shorter, but instead he had to, like, well, there was this little fucking cunt that was born, and this is the life he led until he punched this other dinosaur in the face and the dinosaur lost its tooth.
But this is the thing, like, when you realise that they added the voiceover later, including John Leguizamo's voice, what it was meant to be originally was a framing device where a New Zealander, a British kid and an Australian kid all played an American family, which we could talk about. And then they're going around going, hey there, I'm from America. And they go, what it was going to be was this kid going, I don't really care about dinosaurs. I'm going to go off and walk. He sees a bird. The bird says nothing. It's just a bird. And then we go back in time and see where that bird came from, where that tooth came from. And then it's all silent. It's all like that bear movie from the 80s. You know, it's like an animal.
Oh, I loved that movie.
That's what they were going for. And that's a cool movie. And it's all just like told visually. And it's all these animals. Like, there's none of the voiceover. It's all visual. And then it comes back and it's like, wow, what an amazing story this one tooth has. That's a great film. That's actually a great kids film. And like the framing device makes sense. The bird going back. But then they're like, no, that bird is the same bird as 80 million years ago. And also, like, it's such a strange Hollywood
choice.
And
also, it doesn't turn back into the crow at the end. Because, you know, it's a crow turns into that bird and then that bird comes back at the end. It doesn't turn back into the crow. But in saying all this, look, I'm with Mish in terms of I found this film so entertaining. I don't know what it was. I think it was the mix of all the different things that didn't make sense, the like 14 different storylines that were mushed together. I was in the world of these dinosaurs, like, moving around and speaking out of their butts, or like this voice and like not knowing where the noise was coming from. I was intrigued about Little Patchy, and John Leguizamo's jokes I literally laughed out loud with, like when he was like, "Your life gives you lemons." And then he said something, I don't know, but it made me fucking laugh. And there's another thing, him calling himself the protagonist. There was a few things that I was like, fuck, that delivery is so good and so funny. And I think because I came into this film literally having no idea what the fuck it was, and I started watching this at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was like the perfect breakfast movie to watch. It was just like, yeah, this morning, I'm watching Cheese TV. This feels fucking good. I don't know what's going on. I care about Patchy and that sexy baby dinosaur. And the brothers are like, oh, doofus. Like, I was just, it really felt like I was watching a cartoon. I didn't learn anything. And it was so weird when the film would just stop and talk about a dinosaur with, like, text that you would see at, like, a, like, you know, in high school when you watch, you know, movies about dinosaurs. It just, it was really entertaining. I fucking loved it. I was like, this is like morning TV.
Love this enthusiasm, Anna. Love this.
Yeah, that's so great. I would say that, like, honestly, I didn't find it educational at all. I feel like they really only half committed to that weird dinosaur profile thing. I learned more about dinosaurs from Jurassic Park, for sure. Mm. But I was thoroughly entertained. It was fucking odd. It was really odd. I will say I don't think I'd ever watch it again, but I would recommend people to. I'd be like, yeah, watch it.
I'd put it in front of a kid to, like, make it look at stuff. I
think you like dinosaurs, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it was just a lot of colour and a lot of funny voices and you don't really, like, as soon as you, it reminded me of, like, films with, like, dogs. Like, you know, cats and dogs or whatever, and they had to...
It was a little bit Milo and Otis as well, wasn't it? Like, it was very Milo. Hey, what are you doing in there?
How good is Milo and Otis?
Hey, what's going on over there? Yeah, Milo and Otis is very much that energy as well, is it? Hey, what are you doing, cat? Did Milo and Otis have voiceover? It did, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. He sang a song. It's like, here comes the pug, strong and brave. Yeah, they had voiceovers. I used to love that movie.
Do you know what I reckon I would have preferred? This is just me being like, I mean, I get why you need voices. Like, an $80 million dinosaur movie where it's just silent dinosaurs walking around sounds very beautiful, but it's a little IMAX. So I don't think the 20th Century Fox people were wrong. But I reckon it would have been better if it was just John Leguizamo. So he was the bridge. He was the narrator. The dinosaurs didn't talk. They just growled. And he just sort of like peppered some jokes in there for the kids to kind of bind it all together. That, I think, would have been the like compromise.
Maybe,
like,
that's what it was. And then they like, so maybe they tried that next. And then they're like, nah, let's hire some more actors.
Quick. Get Justin Long.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't say you had Justin Long on speed dial.
Who voice is that? Of course. Yeah.
It was Justin Long, who was Drew Barrymore's ex-boyfriend, and she famously or infamously said that he is the worst kisser she's ever had.
Looks wow.
Like it. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Brutal.
Also, Angouri Rice as the child of Carl Urban. Angouri Rice from Ladies in Black.
That's oh my god!
Fact, yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking at the cast right now.
I only knew John Leguizamo and fucking Justin Long. They were the only two names I knew from this film.
Also, John Leguizamo's bird bit that like poo when that other guy, when they were fighting. I was like, this is funny stuff. I was like, his deliveries of his lines, so good. I was invested in that bird. Very funny.
There was that really funny bit where he was like, wait, I've got some really, really important advice for you. The advice I have is, ooh, a bug. What was I saying? Oh, well. That's very funny. That's funny. Funny's funny.
My favourite bit in the whole movie is when they get attacked by the omnivore, like, emu dinosaurs, and, like, they had a really long name. I can't remember what they're called. They're called, like... They were like the longest name. Like they were
Rocker, like Cockerarosaurus or something. It was like it was
something like that, right? And then the joke was, so they were attacked, and then he was like, "What are these?" And she's like, "They're the Cockerarosauruses." And he's like, that's too long. I'm just gonna call it. Why do we all have really long names? I'm just calling long neckies or whatever." And I was just like, and my first thought was like, isn't it lucky when they translated this film into English from dinosaur that dinosaurs also give themselves long names in the way that we gave them long names, or else that scene wouldn't have worked at all. Because, like, those names would... Because, like, Surely in the original, he wasn't referring to the Latin scientific name given to that dinosaur in the 1950s. Surely he's referring to it as a contemporary name that they give it. But lucky their name was too long as well. That's my thought.
That was good.
I can't get past when like they do it all the time in Ice Age, and it's such a like nerdy boy thing to have a problem with. But it's like, they didn't have that name. We gave their fossils that name. And he's like, it's too long of a name. And it's like, well, they didn't have that name. That was my problem, and I got mad at the movie for that.
Here's a tiny little fun fact. One of the director's names is Barry Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Cook also had a hand in directing Mulan.
Yes.
The animated Mulan, which is my second favourite Disney film.
What's your most favourite?
Hercules.
Great.
Meg is pretty sexy in Hercules.
Meg is my favourite of the Disney women's.
What's your favourite, Anna?
Okay, so I think...
Oh, great, wow.
I think I've got different movies for different reasons. I love Snow White, which is weird, but it's because I watched it when I was younger and the colours just really, they made me feel so good. And when she's on this hill picking flowers, I found that so satisfying, and I keep imagining that every time I go for walks. Like, Pat and I were talking about this the other day. If we could freeze time so we couldn't embarrass ourselves, we definitely still play like fairies or like wood witches or something like that. You know what I mean? If you could like freeze time around the Yarra and stop any old women from judging you or young children or just feeling embarrassed in general, we totally still play make-believe kind of games. I was playing games.
Of course.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so fucking fun. But so I loved Snow White for that, and also the fact that they cleaned that the dwarves' house up. That was like a really satisfying scene. Also, the witch was terrifying. But I loved Lion King, obviously, because it's fucking great, classic. Mm. But then I love this other Disney. It wasn't a Disney film. It was a break-off Disney film. Two different films, actually. So The Swan Princess. Has anyone seen The Swan Princess?
Yes, of course,
fucking
yes.
Classic. I love classic. That film. John Cleese is in it. It's great. Fucking so good. Also, The Brave Little Toaster.
Wow.
Pet scary film.
Scary. When they're in the junkyard.
Yeah.
They're in the junkyard and it's like, I just can't seem to get started. And there's like all the cars are singing their sad song. Great, great kind of 80s synth music within that. I love the idea of like appliances having consciousness. It was like before Toy Story. And so, and that, but it fucked me up because then I thought if I threw away anything, like my toothbrush or like an old radio or something, that they, I was actually throwing away like a being. So that fucked me up for a while. So
I understand.
Have you watched it?
That's
Zach?
A good.
I've never heard of this film in my life.
You should
life.
Watch The Brave Little Toaster. It is such a good film. Watch it.
There's a dream. There's a dream sequence in that film that's really scary as well.
I'm doing like a little like, you know, I did a really quick, and I'm going to own it. I think a lot of people on podcasts are like, do the quick Wikipedia and they're like, oh yeah, The Brave Little Toaster. Wasn't that bought by Disney in 1982? I'm just doing the quick little read now. Fascinating movie. Fascinating. Like, I've never heard of this film in my life.
It's
but
really
I love those
good.
Movies that, like, just because you happen to have the VHS, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. There was one. No one's ever heard. Oh, my God. I've never asked either of you this, but I'll ask you now. That exact thing that Zach just said about you had the DVD or you had the VHS, there was a movie that had Christina Ricci and Anna, last name I can't pronounce, from My Girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Wow.
And it was called The Secret of Bear Mountain.
Okay.
Or, it was, or Gold Diggers, The Secret of Bear Mountain, or something like that.
It's evoking and memories for me. Like, I feel...
Look it up. Look it up if you can. It was... what was it? It was, I think it was called Gold Diggers or something like that. And then the tagline was Gold The Secret Diggers. Of Bear. Yeah. And the tagline was like The Secret of Bear Mountain. And we must have had it on VHS or we could rent it from the library because I used to rent movies from the library when I was a kid because it was free. And I used to rent it all the time and I was obsessed with it. And no one has ever heard of that movie before. Have you found it, Zach?
No, I was just going to pretend. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Anna Chlumsley. Chlumsley. Yeah. Yeah, the Gold Digger's The Secret of Bear Mountain. Yeah, I know it.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that looks amazing. I love a title and a subtitle. A title and like a long subtitle to me is like the ultimate, the ultimate like studio interference of like, I reckon it was called The Secret of Bear Mountain. And they're like, could we maybe call it Gold Diggers? And they're like, all right, here's my compromise. Gold Diggers - The Secret of Bear Mountain.
Yep, that sounds good. Honestly, to our listeners, if you've watched that movie, feel free to hit me up in the DMs because I would love to chat about it because I swear my sister and I are the only people who've ever seen it. Jack, is your favourite is your favourite Disney movie The Lion King?
Yeah, yeah. And then second is Hercules. My one in the like don't remember it thing is I think Macaulay Culkin was in it.
And it's I know it. We've talked about it before.
Is it the one with the animated books?
It's called The Page Master.
The Page Master. And we have talked about it before. Yeah, that's my one. That and the one where about the camp that the kids go to lose weight and Ben Stiller is the
Yeah,
main guy.
What was that film?
Those are the two ones. We talk about it too much.
Yeah, some sort of weird fat phobic.
Well, no, I think the idea was like they go to this fat camp and like they, but it was very of that era where it was like if the ending is nice, you can do as much fat phobic stuff up until the ending. But it was about a fat camp and it was the idea that they go and they just feel good about themselves. They do a bit of exercise, but they sneak treats and it's about feeling good about themselves. And then Ben Stiller like
takes
over.
That's a typical fat person thing to do. That's so typically fat.
No, I think that point was kind of nice. It was like, oh, the sneaky food was bad. But like it's okay, just, you know, it's okay to be who you are and it's not. And then Ben Stiller comes in and he's like proto, he's the mean one. He's like, you got to run and only eat salads. And it's like, he's nasty. Yeah, I don't think this movie would hold up.
I was also thinking there was a film, and I think it's problematic in its name, but it was called
Everything before 2016 is problematic. We've learned from this podcast, so don't stress.
But it was called Indian in the Cupboard. Did you?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. And you close the door and you lock it, or you open it, and then the little creature, the little figurine comes alive or something.
And in the trailer, he goes, "Will you be here when the sun rises?" And then that little boy, little cunt, goes, "One more time" or something. Yeah.
And then in the sequel, the kid goes into the cupboard,
There's a sequel?
Yeah, and I think it was one of those ones where it's like, I remember that film, and then I remember the sequel was one of those ones where it like escalated in a really cool way because it was like the flip, like he goes into the cupboard or something.
I want to watch it. I'm interested in the sequel. I want to see what happens when he gets in that cupboard.
I'm a huge fan of like when a movie does a thing and then the sequel actually does something new. It's like, well, this one was about them coming out of the cupboard. This one's about going, and then they do a third one where they're like, a bit of both. Austin Powers does that like real bad. It's like the first one's like he goes into the future, and then the second one's like now he's going back to the past, and then the third one's like he goes to the 70s for a bit and then he comes back.
It's like Prison Break thing as well. It's like in the first season they're in prison, in the second season they've broken out, this show's done really well and we need to do a third season. Oh, back in prison they go.
Back to prison. Back to prison.
Back they go.
Terminator. Terminator's the ultimate as well. It's like Terminator is the ultimate bad guy. Terminator 2, now he's the good guy and there's a liquid metal guy. Terminator 3, he's mostly the good guy, but then he gets reprogrammed to be the bad guy for a bit. And also there's a liquid person, but the liquid person has a skeleton, which I think is worse than the liquid person. Just like movies where there should only be two is my favourite thing.
Leguistamo ratings for walking with dinosaurs. Do you guys mind if I go first?
I'd love you to go first.
Thank you. I'm going to give this 4.5 Leguistamos. Now, it's... Yeah. Now, my reasoning is that firstly, I was incredibly entertained, but so much about this film didn't work, and the incorporation of John Leguizamo's voice work was the only thing that kind of made their weird concept work. That's why. To me, when I say I don't think he saved the film because visually it was beautiful and like whatever, but all the weird shit they put into this film that they thought would work that didn't, John Leguizamo was the best of that weird shit. That's why I'm giving it 4.5. It's not 5, but 4.5. And also, John is an incredible voice actor, and this might be one of my favourite voices that he's done. I really enjoyed it. It was really like a lovable, wholesome kind of thing.
I reckon it was a lot of fun for him. I reckon they just played some footage of the film and they were like, whatever you want to do, man.
Yeah.
Here's some footage of a bird. Have a chat.
Yeah. So that's why it gets 4.5 Leguistamos from me.
Wow, that's a great Leguistamo score, Mish.
And just as a reminder, Honor, Leguistamos isn't like how good you thought the film was. It's how Leguizamo-y it was.
Got it.
Zach, your turn?
I've got to give it 3.5 Leguistamos. This is a great moment where I'm going to say the same things as you, but as negatives. I thought he did a wonderful job. I thought he was really, really good. But the whole time I was like, I thought he did really well with an assignment he never should have gotten, because I think the film would have been a lot better without any voiceover. Like, the whole film was meant to not have voiceover. It was all visual things. And there were times where, like, they'd have the visual of a sunrise and then his bird character would be like, "Sun, the sun rose." So I thought he did a very good job. But it loses points because it's like, I hate to see a wasted Leguizamo. And I think he was great considering his constraints. That's why it gets 3.5. But the movie would have been better if he wasn't in it. But not his fault. But I would have never watched the movie if he wasn't in it, because so then that gives it the 0.5 star. So that's my journey.
Thanks for that. That was beautiful. Thank you. Wolf.
I'm going to give it 5 Leguistamos.
Wow. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, Rana. Wow.
Because perfect breakfast movie. Waking up, so good. I had a wonderful morning because of this film. It didn't make me think, but, it made me think a little bit because I was like, what the fuck is this? But it also, he genuinely made me laugh, I would say 3.5 times throughout the film. And
which is really good when you watch it.
That's actually very good.
That's a really good, yeah.
It is though, because it wasn't like, it was the way he delivered his lines. I'm like yelling and this might be bad, but the way he delivered his lines is, he did such a good job. I loved how that bird character, I kind of loved the character of that bird, that it was invested but not invested. I love that he told a story without that story actually being there. Colors were fun. He was great. And I just want to thank you guys for inviting me on this podcast, because I'm really glad I watched that movie, even though it was really average and bad, but it was very entertaining. And that's all I need right now.
Thank you for your 5 Leguistamos, Honor.
Oh, you're welcome.
What a throwdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. I was a little worried that we'd done the trilogy thing to you, because Mish had said it was good because of his part, and I said it gets a low score because of his part, and I was like, how do you do a 3 to that? And the twist is a 5 Leguistamo. You fucking hit the nail out of the park right there. So good. I've definitely mixed metaphors there. I thought you were about to come in with an Alien 3. I thought you were about to come in with a Terminator 3. And no, you came in with a Back to the Future Part 3. Congratulations, you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well done, Honor. Thank you so much for joining us, Honor. If people want to find you, you also have a podcast, which is pretty cool. So why don't you promote all of your shit right now?
So I live at 29.
Don't do that. Oh, don't do that.
So I have a podcast called Sex and the Sex in the Sex, which is a Sex and the City podcast that Jordan and I made when we were 20. And we did it like every 5 months, and then we redid it with Irvi Majumdar in this last couple of years, for these last couple of years. It's really fun and great.
It's
We're
so
really
funny.
Dry, and it's very it's more like if you're doing the dishes and you want to listen to three dry but shrill women talk.
Fuck so, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, it's a lot of fun. I also, yeah, find us at Hot Department on Instagram and TikTok. You can email us at hotdepartment@gmail.com. And you can also email sexandthesex@gmail.com. Also, follow me on Instagram because Pat has way more Instagram followers than me because he always does fucking hot photos. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, so follow me. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast.
Great. I hope everyone who listens to this emails your Sex in the Sex in the Sex podcast.
I hope
they email you.
Please,
I brought in the music there, not because you were going too long, but the speed up definitely had like Oscar's speech marks. Just there was such a like, oh, and also like the way you were speeding up, I definitely felt like you were like, You this was your moment. You're so proud of your short film winning the Oscar.
I was just petrified that you were going to dox yourself.
I was. I want
to. Do you know what? You'd be surprised how much that giving away your email is going to fuck you up one day.
I can't wait. I need some excitement.
Thank you. So, what should we ask Tom to close this episode out with? What music?
Oh, are you talking to me?
I'm talking to both of you.
Maybe.
Honor, you choose. You choose.
I want him to write a song with music to me singing this. Nighttime in winter, a little baby seal, dreaming and dreaming, what can he feel? Nighttime in winter, a little baby seal, drip, 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 drip. Drip. Something like that. That'd be great.
Okay, yeah. We were thinking more like dinosaur sounds or something, but that's good, Tom.
Yeah, that's good, Tom.
Compose an original track using that audio clip.
Tom, we are grossly underpaying you, but off your pop. Make a song.
And Tom, like, if you want to do that, if you want to embrace the challenge, we're going to finish up now with whatever that was. This is now over to a song written by Tom using Honor's audio. But if Tom's in a rush and can't be bothered considering we don't pay him much, take us out. Sounds of dinosaurs roaring. You'll find out when we find out. Thanks, Honor.
Thanks, Honor.
You're welcome. Nighttime in winter, a little baby seal, dreaming and dreaming, what can he feel? Nighttime in winter, a little baby seal, drip, 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 drip. Nighttime in winter, a little baby seal, dreaming and dreaming, what can he feel? Nighttime in winter, a little baby seal, drip, 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 drip.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.